Hello everyone, welcome to the B2B SaaS podcast. I'm your host Upendra Verma, and today we have Greg Rich with us. Greg here is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Vivantio. Hey Greg, welcome to the show.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, all right Greg, so let's try to understand right what your company and product does and like why customers are paying you money.
Why pay us money? Okay, so Vivantio is an enterprise service management platform for customer service and support teams. So we predominantly sell into the mid-market space. So these are typically teams that are either growing or scaling in terms of service and support, and they're kind of moving away from either legacy or entry-level case management solutions and looking for their next evolution in terms of service management, or is going to be sort of enterprise systems that are looking to find products and services that can still allow them to do what they want to do from a service and support perspective, but they're trying to remove the burden of management of those systems. You know, they're typically using enterprise systems that are difficult to maintain, difficult to look after, not a great return on investment from that perspective, and they're looking for a new range of products and services that can allow them to do what they want to do, but at a much more cost-effective way. That's pretty much it.
And then,
so the types of people that use Vivantio, we predominantly sold into IT for many, many years. But Vivantio is a very scalable solution. We have customers right across the enterprise now. One of our areas of focus is in customer service and support. So people providing support to external customers, whether that's MSPs or support for customers of their organization. And right across the business, HR, finance, everyone's a service team these days. Everyone's providing service either to the business or to customers, and they all need a service management solution like Vivantio.
And does one product like serve everybody? Is that how it is, or you've got like suite of products, serving for various, customer profiles that you have? Like, so does your same IT solution, work well for example, a external customer facing like customer support team who is, helping out my customers, for example?
That's it. So yeah, it's a very great question, actually. So this is something we've changed relatively recently. We did used to have a lot of products, lots of different solutions. And actually what the market were telling us was that it was too confusing, difficult to understand pricing, difficult because it's such a comprehensive product to understand which features they needed. So actually what we did this year was we moved away from that completely. We simplified our license model. We just have now a single platform, a single price that's designed to be used across all service teams. And the idea of the platform is that it's a no-code, low-code product. It allows those customers to turn on and off the features that they need and to run it across multiple service teams. So through roles and permissions and things like that, everybody can be using the same platform, but obviously have their own consolidated view into their part of the business.
Got it, right? And then I have a couple of questions here, but I'll come to that after a while, right? So just want to understand a sense of your customer base as of today, right? Like how many customers are you serving on your platform today?
Serving on the platform hundreds of thousands a day, actually. We have several hundred customers, but if you think about the technology and the types of customers they're providing service and support to, these are large enterprises that have customers, either thousands of customers internally or hundreds of thousands of customers externally. So yeah, we have hundreds of thousands of people using
our
products.
So can you talk about these, like I asked you customers, not users in particular, like
customers
who are actually paying you money?
Yeah, so we have about 400 customers at the moment.
And that's 100,000 is approximately the users or the end users essentially
That's right, consuming those services, exactly. Yeah.
Good. And then how big of a deals are we talking about, right? On average, how much your customer typically pays you? Are we talking about a $10,000 mid-market deal or are we talking about a $100,000 enterprise deal? Just give us a approximate.
Yeah, so I mean, it ranges, as you can imagine, as a product and service like ours. We have customers, that are relatively small, and we have very, very large customers, Texas Correctional Institute, who have hundreds of thousands of users. Actually, in fact, our average deal size sits around $25,000.
Makes sense. And are you comfortable, letting us know like where you are as a company in terms of revenue rate, approximately?
Yeah, so we're now we're an old company with a new startup mentality. So without getting into the backstory, we've been bootstrapped up until about a year ago,
That's
a year ago, and that was for various reasons. We're now sort of poised for growth. We see a huge market opportunity, especially in the service and support part of the industry. We're sitting at just around 5 million in terms of annual recurring revenue at the moment, and a little bit higher than that in terms of actual revenue. Yeah,
got it. Right. So and just. Let's move on to your growth journey here for a while, right? So where are all of these customers or enterprises or, you know, your deals, like where are they finding you in the first place, right? How does that top of funnel look like today over the past 12 months, for example?
So the past 12 months has been far more predictable than the previous 12 months, the previous years, in fact. So what we've been doing is investing a lot of time and effort into SEO. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that we've wanted to do, especially as it relates to the customer service and support market, is try to educate operations teams about what service management has meant to IT for the last two decades. You know, there are best practice frameworks, there are technologies that IT have been using that really haven't been leveraged across the entire organization. So we've actually spent the last 12 months releasing white papers, you know, putting out tons of blog posts every week that talk about how operations teams can elevate service to their customers, looking at service efficiency, service optimization, thinking about integrations across the business and things like that. So that has been really the route that we have taken. And that's where we're seeing most of our growth at the moment.
And like, was that like, did you invest a lot in those past 12 months on SEO, or were you already been doing for a while? And like, that's what given you most of the results over the past 12 months?
Yeah, we've actually been, it's one of these strange things that, we have a very diverse set of customers, you know, everything from education through professional services, through finance, through fintech. I mean, it really is a very broad.
So let me rephrase that question, right? So you've got around 400 customers, right? So just like a big chunk of them, where did they discover you? Like, how did you end up?
Yeah, so 50% of our customer base, we're actually using Vivantio for external customer support to support end users of their products and services. And, you know, coupled with that and the fact that we're now seeing that customer services teams are being, you know, looked at as profit centers for organizations, you know, they really can help drive growth of businesses. You know, they're part of retention, they're part of renewals, they're part of helping with upsell and influence of sale. And, you know, there's a lot of demand that's been put on those teams in these modern days. And so we've really seen that there's an opportunity now to leverage that and to make sure that we're providing tools and services to those teams that can really help them elevate the customer experience.
Oh, sorry, Greg. So what I was trying to understand is, like, where did they discover you in the first place? Like, how are they finding you? Like, is it SEO or is there something else? Are you doing any outbound sales? Like, what's that first touch point look like for all of your existing
customers? Well, you have to remember, we've been around 20 years. So, of course, it's, it has varied considerably over that time. As a small company, we've had to be quite nimble. We've had to be able to react to, you know, the market. In the early days, we were one of the first adopters of Google AdWords. You know, it was fantastic for us. And of course, now we can't compete in that because, you know, our enterprise peers, dominate that space and it makes it impossible. So, you know, you have to be nimble. You have to learn how to kind of adjust to market conditions. But to us, like I said, the SEO piece is a big one for us because it brings people to our site. They're inquisitive. They want to understand how they can, you know, improve service without spending enterprise dollars in order to do that. And that's typically what leads customers to us.
So essentially, SEO is the one that's really been driving most of the growth these days. Is that how we can do that?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, we back it up we think about it as a multi-channel approach. So of course, mm-hmm. we use LinkedIn, we use display, advertising and things like that, to try and ensure that we continue to get that message across. You know, it's not just a fire and forget mentality. Yeah. Obviously, we have email marketing sequences that we use to keep people informed about, you know, changes to the product, the service, and other white papers that we're releasing. So, you know, we have a number of tactics that surround our messaging, but predominantly it's really that education piece is what we're pinning everything on.
And do you do any outbound sales or no today?
So we are doing some. It's, you know, it's proven positive in the past, and then it's not proven to work so well. But we are fortunate that we brought in an EVP of sales recently under the remit of our chief revenue officer, who has a ton of experience in building out outbound sales teams. And it's very new. You know, we've literally had that position in for a few months. So in fact, the first employee working under Jim started this week. So again, that is something we're starting to look at now. Yeah. And again, it's part of the same thing. It's like, how do we get our message out there? How do we actually communicate to people about what our value proposition is?
Got it. Right. So yeah, let's move on. Right. So like, I was trying to understand this a lot more because like at $5 million, right. So at 5 million ARR, like what would you bet on? Right. Is SEO your primary thing? If yes, like how much of your growth is coming from SEO? Just want to get a sense there. Can you just quantify here? Just put a number there, for example, how much percentage of your new leads just come from SEO?
I would say it's a large proportion. I would probably say 60 to 70%. Okay. You know, you have to remember that we're selling into an industry where people are, you know, relatively tech savvy to a certain degree. They kind of know what they want. They do a lot of research before they reach out to someone like Vivantio to look at a product and services. Our sales cycles are relatively short, you know, 60 to 90 days because of the amount of time that our prospects have taken to, you know, evaluate and investigate solutions, even before picking up the phone or raising a hand or filling out a form on a website. So by the time they actually get to us, they're pretty well informed.
Talk about the sales cycle, right? So what happens when somebody discovers you, when somebody did their research and they come to you, right? What happens after that? Like, how do you convince them to become a paying customer of yours?
So it goes. We go through a number of stages. You know, the first thing we do is we try and have a scoping call with somebody to understand what their pain points are. Why are they looking? You know, what are they trying to achieve here? What are they using at the moment? What's not working for them? And what's their kind of current future state look like? You know, what are they trying to get to as a business, and what are their business challenges? And based on the back of that, what we'll then do is we'll customize a demo for them that showcases some of the features that we have in the product that actually solves those business challenges that they have. So that's typically the second stage. And then the third stage, really, it can go one of two ways. Sometimes people will ask for just a trial of the system, and we're happy to oblige and, you know, give somebody a 30-day access. What we try and encourage them to do is to actually work with our implementation consultants free of charge to put a proof of concept in place. Mm-hmm. We find that, you know, having the opportunity to hold their hand, you know, just for a couple of days in implementing certain parts of the solution, and for them to realize how simple and easy it is to configure and how quickly they can actually start getting an ROI, that's really advantageous, both for them and for us, because they really do understand the value of the products at that point. So a POC is really where we try and, you know, try and steer people if they have the time and the willingness and the capacity to do it. Yeah.
And then, like, it's 60 odd days. Is that what you're saying? 60 to 90 days. Is that how your sales cycle typically takes?
60 to 90 days. Yeah. I mean, it can extend beyond that for enterprise customers. You know, there are larger buying committees, and they have to go. You know, procurement is could be long winded, as I'm sure you know. But typically, yeah, for our ideal customer, it's typically 60 to 90 days. Yeah.
Got it. Right. So Greg, like, so just give us a sense, right? So, I mean, I see a lot of your product or, you know, your reviews, most of them are around, you know, IT, you know, IT service management, something like that. But I recently also see that you switched on to this external facing customer support teams and all of that. Right. So how's the journey going on? Like, when did you make the switch? And like, is it like literally going from zero to one in terms of, you know, acquiring this new customer base and adapting them to your product? Or like, how's that journey looking like? So, and is that your bet on how you're going to grow from 5 million to, let's say, your next big milestone?
Yeah, so I think in terms of going to answer your first question, thinking about the journey, as I alluded to earlier, I think we kind of fell into it to a certain degree. 50% of our customers were using it for external support. And it wasn't until we started doing, you know, that market research. You know, I'm part of the Gartner CEO startup program. So I get access to their analysts, and that's really helpful in terms of validating some of the things that we're seeing in the market. And that's a great opportunity for us to really think about where we could differentiate our products and services. You know, the service management market is saturated with products. I mean, especially on the IT side. And so, you know, we wanted to find a way that we could carve a niche in that particular market. And we believe for us, customer service and support is that niche. So that, like I said, that was really a change in focus. So we already had 50% of our customers using it for that. But then on the flip side, we're actually seeing that, you know, enterprise service management is also becoming a big play. You know, it's not really thinking about service and support within a single team, but how can you, you know, holistically think about the way that you're delivering services across your entire organization. And Vivantio plays well in that area too. You know, we do find more often than not that when we land a new customer, it's not very long before they start thinking about adoption across the organization into facilities management, HR, finance, governance, risk and compliance. You know, all of these teams can make use of a solution like Vivantio. And there's a benefit in having, you know, a single service management platform across your entire organization when you want to start understanding or measuring how you're delivering service both to your internal and external customers and what impact that has on the bottom line.
Let's talk about churn and expansion here, right? I think since you've already touched upon it, right? So how does churn look like for you, right? So typically, how long does a customer stick with you, and like, what's that percentage look like?
Oh, forever. They're here forever. No, I'm joking. So typically the customers, our average tenure is about 6 years, you know, and it does vary depending on the size of the customer. Our ICP customers have been with us anywhere between 9 and 12 years. You know, it's a significantly longer period of time. It's a very sticky product when you start getting into, you know, customers that are really understanding and you know, using the value of the product within your organization. and across the organization.
And then talk about that expansion strategy you have, right? So you mentioned that, you know, one team goes on to, so just like how is that working for you well? And maybe can you just quantify that as well?
Yeah, quantifying is easy. So our net retention is about 110 to 115%. So, you know, whilst we do lose some customers, and obviously no organization or no company ever wants to lose customers, but that's just the natural, you know, order of things that just happens for various reasons. You know, we are, you know, the expansion within our existing customer base is significantly outweighing what we're losing from customer churn.
And which dimension is this along? Is this along the number of users that they're using, or is it along, you know, different product line or different some other team sort of adopting, you know, the platform? Like, which dimension is this sort of, you know, extra revenue that you're generating from an existing customer?
Yeah, it does go in both directions, actually, both sort of vertically and horizontally. What we find that, you know, as product teams mature, they start making or turning on features of Avantio that allow that team to scale. So that's a big thing for them. They start building out workflows, automation, things like that. So that obviously helps. And like I said, the other is horizontally. They start looking at how those service, how that tool can be used, or how Avantio can be used across their organization, so they can start delivering the same kind of service to their internal customers as they deliver to their external customers.
Got it. So Greg, talk about the team today, right? So how many folks do you have in your team working, and like, what do they work on?
So we have, as you can tell from my accent, I'm originally from the UK, and half of our team, in fact, more than half of our team, about 70% of our team are back in the UK at the moment. We have about 45, 50 staff today. And like I said, you know, a large majority of those are back in the UK. Mainly, you know, the split of that is most of our sales and marketing team here in the US. And we have some product support, you know, implementation, professional services teams that reside here to support our US customers. And then back in the UK, we have our sort of our main technical support teams, engineering teams, operational support, DevOps, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Like, what's the vision here, Greg? Like, where do you see your company going, let's say, 3 to 5 years? Like, what's going to happen? Are you going to raise an external funding and, you know, pump up the growth? Or like, what's the plan here?
Yeah, so we've already gone through one small round of funding at the start of 2022.
How much did you raise?
Yeah, we raised 2 million in terms of debt, and that was to help fuel growth. And like I said, the company has doubled in size during that time, and we've seen growth of about 20 to 30%. And that the plan is towards the end.
But you've been bootstrapped till 2022, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Absolutely. And then we've actually, you know, we employed a CFO a few months ago as part of our growth ambition. And we've been working with the CFO now, and we will be going out to the wider community at the start of September to look at an equity round. What that number looks like, I can't tell you. I don't actually know because we're kind of working on the financial model now, and we're kind of finalizing the deck and the sort of go to market that goes along with that. But that's the plan for this year. And then in terms of growth, you know, it's a $26 billion market, which is growing 13% year on year at the moment. So, you know, we have there's a huge opportunity there for us in becoming what I would, from my perspective, you know, I've always considered ourselves to be a customer services organization that develops service management software, not the other way around. You know, my vision is that, you know, we're seen as that we're seeing as the leader in terms of like how our products and services can be used to really elevate the customer experience and what that means to organizations. You know, that's a big thing for me. And you know, just really the Vivantio name being synonymous with great service and support. Yeah. Both in terms of product and in terms of the way that we, you know, we service our customers.
That's great. So all right, Greg, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Hope you scale Vivantio to much, much greater heights.
There's lovely talking to you too. Yeah. Thanks very, very much for your time.